Fred. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limb.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Wall dick, but yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Dog's pretty big. Midget's pretty small. Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Dog's pretty big. Midget's pretty small. Midget with a dog.
Again with the Dilly. 12,000 times.
What'd you think of the Bruins game tonight?
Great game. Fuck, I don't know. I don't remember. Yeah.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. Some very exciting Sarge calls. Coming up at 8 o'clock. I know about one. I don't know about the others. And then Troy Brown in for the totality of the 7 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that. Rich, you were at the Great Wolf Lodge.
Yeah, that was a party.
With you. Just you and your children. There was no other adult.
Nope, oh, man. Just me and the two kids.
Yep. Always a roll of the dice when you do something like that.
Yeah. But I will tell you this, is that what made things a little bit easier for me this weekend were the constant tweets that I was getting of John Wallach's gigantic face all over ESPN game day.
That was amazing.
Our listeners are unbelievable because not only was Wallach getting like great FaceTime, like front and center right at the opening, and they even like posted a video on their ESPN account that showed how crazy it was, and like Wallach's head is all over it. So not only was the Wallach head all over ESPN game day, but apparently there was also a sign that said,
I'm not Dilly.
Oh, I didn't see that. There was an I'm not Dilly sign that made it as well. Now, somebody tweeted me a sign that they had made, and they were standing at College game day that said, Sarge sucks. But I did not see that one on TV. Like, and once again, I was not watching it live.
See, I watched it live. I turned it on. I was with my daughter. And when Jersey Shore, we did take a break.
I understand.
And then when I turned it on, I saw like three Wallach heads.
Yeah. It was awesome.
The only place they weren't is there was like a side stage where the guy that used to play for Georgia, the lineman who unfortunately got a career-ending injury right away, he was talking to a woman. But then every time they went back to Lee Corso and those guys.
Right there.
Like, it's somewhere, like, because I think they rotate the guys around, like, because the signs kept changing up front.
Yeah.
But then you would look back, and there would be a Wallach head. And then over here, there would be a Wallach
head. Like, right over Fowler's shoulder. I mean, the placement was perfect.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, you got a ton of FaceTime this weekend. And like,
Reese Davis, whatever his name is.
And the best thing, too, is that, you know, how you would think that if you were on TV and whatever, you'd put it back down. But, I mean, for the totality of the show, there were Wallach heads up there.
I watched 5 minutes, and I probably saw four Wallach heads.
Yeah. So our listeners are the best. That was something that throughout the weekend made me laugh. And they kept coming in. Like, people had taken screen caps off the TV, and it was just phenomenal.
I had forgotten about College game day. It starts at 9 in the morning. By 9:05, I had people calling me and texting me and tweeting
me. Opening shot.
You need to turn on the TV now.
You were in the opening shot. When I know. They show, like, the big thing. It was, like, right there front and center.
I had a couple of people tape me the 5 minutes that I missed. It's unbelievable.
And you know what I did? I sat and watched that entire game. I watched that awful game. Well, however, I mean, part of it was because, you know, I had just a tiny bit of money on it, and I kind of wanted to see how that would go.
By the way, just want to stop right here. Mm-hmm. The spread was 20, right?
Yep, it was. So it was a push.
Did you put money on this or not? Well, here's the thing. According to Lifshatz, about a half an hour before kickoff, he tweeted me and said a whole bunch of money came in on BC at the last minute, and that lowered the line to 18.
Oh, really? No,
so
I got
apparently,
it at
20. Apparently, Clemson covered because of that.
Yeah. I got it at 20, so that kind of is just a push. But, I mean, that was a tough game to watch. I mean, that was – I haven't watched – listen, I'm not going to talk like I've watched any BC football this season because I have not. That was my first – is their offense always that inept?
They got their quarterback.
Starting quarterback got hurt in the first quarter. Having said, they still would have lost the game. It would might have been – they might have scored offensive touchdown.
But, I mean, that was pretty much it. I mean, as soon as he got hurt.
And A.J. Dillon, their top back, has been playing on a high ankle sprain now for a couple of months. So
whoever that number two is, though, on defense, he was fairly impressive. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember the guy's name.
The last couple of years, the defense has been really, really good. It's just the offense's inability to score, which has been the problem. They weren't going to beat that team anyway. Had Anthony, I think Anthony Brown as a quarterback, if he had stayed healthy, it would have been closer.
How about the sweet locks on the Clemson quarterback?
Yes.
That dude is, it's like the pitcher from Dazed and Confused.
Yes.
Except bulked up.
Yep.
Yeah, that was not a fun game to watch.
No.
But at least I didn't lose money on it. I just kind of kept what I had.
Well, you lose a little as a VIG. I was everyone attacking my weight, saying I weighed 240.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and I did yoga on Friday, and afterwards I weighed myself. And while not close to 240, I came in at 219, which is the heaviest I've ever weighed, to my knowledge. So now I have to lose weight.
Okay.
Now this is on the table. Now this is something I have to do.
There are plenty of companies around the station right now who are looking for people to endorse their products.
Just walk right out there. I'm sure a salesman will hook you right up.
Every show has a weight loss endorsement except for ours.
Huh? I don't want to do any of that stuff. I know what I got to do. And I can
eat less and exercise more?
Yes.
There it is. Okay. It sounds very simple.
I know what I have to do. And I'm sure all those systems are fantastic and they've done great things for great people.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't need to do that. I know what I need to do.
I'll tell you one thing, though. It's worked for the people who used it here.
I didn't say it hasn't.
No. I'm not saying it gets it. But I mean, if you, you can, one thing you can say is that the people who've used it have gotten results. So if you do want to, you know, quickly get results, I'm sure that would not be the worst way to go.
At the heart of it, it's eating less and exercising more.
Yes.
Yeah. That's all it is.
And not eating right before you go to sleep.
Yep.
Which is, that's when I...
Not eating after 7 or 8 o'clock.
That's the thing that gets me.
Eating less.
Big-ass bowl of cereal at like 10 p.m.
And going out for a run once in a while.
Yeah. So that's... But 240 was... that was just insulting. 240.
Well, people are using that unfair picture of you next to Mankind, and the thing they don't realize about Mankind is that when you're what's his real name, Mick Foley.
Yeah.
The thing about Mick Foley is that it was like from the chest up. I mean, the dude is big all over. I mean, he's massive.
Yeah.
And he's built under there. And also, you were in the front of the photo, so I think it was like Esoteric who was just like, "Look at the two of these together." And I'm like, "You don't understand. If you saw the two of them standing next to each other here in the studio, you would realize Mankind is a monster." All right, he's huge, way bigger than any of us. Just it was a weird photo that people were showing.
Yeah. No 240. 219, which is the worst I've ever been.
What's the target for you?
Realistically, right now?
Yeah, how much weight do you want to lose?
Like in the next few months, 14 pounds.
Okay.
I think is realistic.
That's doable, sure.
Oh, that's doable. I know I can do that.
Yeah.
And then I can start chipping away from there. But I'm not doing something where you lose, like, you know, 20 pounds in 2 months. I'm not doing that. Because that's you can't sustain that. I mean, there was a long time when I was never even 200 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's gotten away from me a little bit. And it sucks because it means I have to cut back on drinking, which I have no desire to do.
What about vodka?
No, I can't start doing that.
Yeah.
No, because then you start making vodka drinks, and then the first one you go, hey, and then the second one, it
just tastes so good going down. And then,
then the second one's essentially a pint of vodka. I mean, I have to get up in the morning and come in here. So, no, I can't do that. That's been suggested to me before, but I'm not doing that.
Yeah, that's the dieter's drink.
Yeah, but it's also a good way to get completely annihilated at home.
About the Manhattan diet, you know? Just do it like Mr. Jamelli.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just meatballs and Manhattans.
Mm-hmm.
just kick back in the old Parker lounger.
I sleep on a recliner.
Yeah. I had two people this weekend ask me if Mark Jamelli was a real person. Like, is that like a person or is that somebody doing a voice? I'm like, that is a real human being, and they wanted to know how we started talking to him, why it took this long for us to finally meet this guy. I mean,
you are a dick, you.
Yep. Well, the next thing is going to be the recliner Christmas.
Well, I've already sent out the bat signal to the sales staff saying that we need some help. I want him to be able to go and pick out any recliner that he wants around town and go shopping with Nick, and that will be his big Christmas present.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, someone can join him on the trip, and he can just try them all out, and
mm-hmm.
then...
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when he gets it, you can have audio of him getting it finally in his house. That will be the fourth recliner that will be in front of the television.
He will be the happiest man on the planet.
Mark Jamelli!
Has anyone yet found a guy or
Mark Jamelli
person that has more than two recliners in their house?
In the same room?
Any.
No.
Like,
no,
I'm under house.
You're saying house.
Yeah.
He has a one-bedroom
apartment. I know. I'm saying this because I've never met anyone who has more than two recliners in their home.
So he has three in his living room.
And wants another one.
And one, I think, in his bedroom.
No.
Or all three are in the living room?
Yes, because one was in the bedroom when young Nicholas was sick.
Right. That's right. That's right.
So but then he moved it out. And then he gets nervous during the games. So he goes from recliner to recliner.
And I'll make meatballs.
And apparently, he's, like, in heaven. Apparently, like, being on the radio and, like, every day is just Nick, every time he talks to him, he's like, Nicholas!
He's the best, man.
Yeah.
He really is.
But it sucks because you can't use them all the time.
No, you wait. You know, you do it. You can't do too much.
Yeah.
As I said, it's going to be, we're going to do Prior Recliner Christmas the first week of December. I think that's when we do it. And we get him out there, you know, let him have a little early Christmas present. That way he can, you know, Christmas morning be sitting in his brand new recliner. Might take a little bit to deliver it. Mm. You want to make sure he has it on Christmas.
Yeah. So, yeah, just, you know, he can be in his new recliner and, you know, just open the gifts on the recliner.
Mm-hmm.
And just leather cleaner and fabric cleaner. That's all the gifts that he gets.
All the meatballs were gone.
Of course.
That's when he gets serious. He's like, all the meatballs.
All the meatballs were gone. I don't mess around with it.
All right, Rich, what will we discuss from yesterday?
There ain't nothing good about that game yesterday with the Patriots. We will talk about the disaster in Music City and take your calls as well.
All right, we will be right back.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night?
98.5 to Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
What happened last night is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. No matter what time of day it is, two bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches are always a good thing. And now you can get two for $5 at Dunkin' Donuts. Go twos! Participation may vary. Music wasn't the only thing that sucked in Nashville yesterday.
Out of the pistol, Mariota is going to abandon the pocket. It's a Wildcat snap to Henry, who runs it to the right. The burst into the end zone. A second rushing touchdown of the day for Derrick Henry. And punctuation for the Titans here in Nashville.
An embarrassment of a drive right there by this defense and what they just gave up. I don't blame them. Offense didn't do jack anything today. You are getting your, you know what, taken to the woodshed.
New England Patriots found a way to get embarrassed in all three phases of the game yesterday in their butt-ugly 34-10 loss to the Titans. All week, the talk had been about just how bad Malcolm Butler was and how Tom Brady would feast on him. But yesterday, Butler wasn't the corner that was getting abused.
Lewis to the right of Mariota. He takes the snap. He retreats three steps. He's in the pocket. He launches a long ball. High lob to Davis. Left side in the end zone. Caught for a Tennessee touchdown. A flag comes down after the tackle by Gilmore. But there's another beautiful throw by Mariota to Corey Davis at the Patriots' expense.
That ball hung. That's a really good throw.
Corey Davis has four touchdown catches in his career, and three of them are against the Patriots. Gilmore was in coverage for five receptions for 90 yards and a touchdown, and he was flagged twice for pass interference. It was the most yards Gilmore has allowed in two seasons as a Patriot, and the five catches tied his previous high. He also gave up a touchdown for the first time since week 3. Meanwhile, Malcolm Butler, who was much maligned this week, allowed just two catches on two targets for only 11 yards. But no matter what, the Patriots defense that looked like they had righted the ship after a few strong games looked like their old awful selves again from the beginning of the season. As a matter of fact, 24 points in the first half were the most the Titans had scored all season long and the most the Patriots had given up in that half as well. But even worse than the Pats' D yesterday was their ridiculously inept offense.
Left foot forward for Brady. Waits on the snap, and he takes it. Again, DeWitt. He starts to his left, flips it to Edelman, who throws it right for Brady. Makes the catch, stumbles at the 40, and he dives close to the first down marker with Woodyard covering up for Tennessee. And Tom Brady makes the catch on the reverse, and then the wide receiver pass, but he stumbled toward the first down marker, unable to get there.
Hey, at least he caught it this time.
What's the opposite of a zogasm? A zoblow?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot of zoblows on these clips.
By the way, Brady scored has thrown one TD in the last three games.
Yeah,
he was cowering in the face of the rush yesterday.
Well, yeah. Who needs defensive ends when the quarterback can just tackle himself like in that play? By the way, can we just all agree that any trick play that involves Tom Brady catching a pass should just be torn out of the playbook and burned in an incinerator, never to be attempted again?
Well, I mean, they're funny.
Oh, they're very funny.
Funny to watch. I mean, and the regular stuff wasn't working. I mean,
seeing him like just attempt to run 7 yards is ridiculous.
Well, what made that?
I mean, he looks hurt. Well, when he runs, he just looks like he has arthritic knees.
Well, what made that play so much more embarrassing was that just like the Super Bowl, the Titans, or Mike Vrabel, I should say, wanted to show Bill Belichick that, hey, mine's better than yours.
The first
take
play.
Over on downs from their 42, a handoff to Lewis. It's a reverse pass as he gave it up to Jennings, who threw it left-handed to Mariota, and he runs it across the 30, the 40-yard line of the Patriots, tackled at the 38.
Wow.
As the Titans gave the Pats a taste of their own doing.
Brable rubbing it
the
in.
Same play the Patriots ran with Tom Brady
on the
previous series.
It's a great call, and Vrabel taking it to him here. Getting out played, getting out coached.
Out everything today.
Think about that now. I mean, all the games, if you're any other team in the NFL, all the games, the Patriots, we've said it before on this program, the FU score. Patriots will be up by 3 touchdowns, and they'll throw a fly pattern to Randy Moss or pick a receiver. Patriots constantly sticking the knife in. That drive, that was the first play after the Patriots tried it going the other way. Oh. That last drive by Tennessee, they emptied the playbook. You're going to try that nonsense? We're throwing throwback passes. We're trying blind, you know, fake the screen one way, throw the screen the other way. And they went right down the field and scored the touchdown and put the game away.
And well, back to Brady. It's obvious, you know, everyone says, and they did get a lot of pressure up the middle, and that's how you defend Brady. We've been hearing it for a million years. He was phantom sacks. And
saw that a lot.
Oh, my gosh. Phantom sacks on top of that. Like, I mean, it's another game where there were guys that were wide open. And the thing is, too, is he kept trying to make Josh Gordon happen. And it's getting to the point where I don't know if it's that Josh Gordon doesn't know the route or that Tom Brady's just throwing bad passes to him.
Well,
he threw a couple
of good ones that went right through his hands.
Well, he threw one that I can think of. But
yeah,
I mean, he was 4 for 12 with Josh Gordon. And he kept trying to. Now, I understand Rob Gronkowski's not there, but still, I don't think that Chris Hogan has had a catch in 2 straight games.
I don't think Hogan has it anymore. And by the way,
but he was open on a couple plays. Like, there's several different. Like, Tom Brady's giving up on plays way earlier than
a trust issue. Oh, that's what it is.
Well, no, and Hogan's probably also the fifth read, coming out.
But it's also a trust issue. Hogan showed an inability to separate from slot corners in fourth quarters earlier this year. So of course Brady's not looking at him. He knows he has a better chance of trying to jam the ball into double coverage to Josh Gordon than he is looking the other way.
Okay, but you agree that he's giving up on plays he's
giving up on Hogan. He's not giving up on everybody.
He's giving up on plays. He's throwing the ball away.
He got scared in the pocket.
But he got scared early.
Yes.
Tennessee
was all over him from the very beginning of the game. And of course, when that happens, and we've seen it throughout his career, it doesn't happen a lot because the offensive line has been very good in front of him. But when you get pressure up the middle, he sees things that aren't there. He'll throw the ball far too soon. There were a couple of plays where Edelman was open and Brady just threw it away because he thought incorrectly that there was someone next to him.
And then there's turtling when there was no one really around.
You don't see it a lot, but when you do, it affects his entire afternoon, and that's what happened
yesterday. It's funny, for the last 3 years, he made that go away. Because about like maybe like 4 years ago, he had a big problem with the turtling and the phantom people. But then he did something over the past couple of years where you're like, wow, this dude's standing in the pocket. He's getting hit. Like this.
You added David Andrews. You added Shaq Mason. I mean, you have some good offensive linemen in front of him. Mason was out. Trent Brown was sick and couldn't play a lot like yesterday.
But it's this season he's been doing this. Adrian it's not Waddle, just yesterday.
I mean, he has one touchdown pass in the last three games.
Yeah, and it's been – and on top of that, when was the last time you saw Brian Hoyer in a game with 6 minutes to go? Yeah, I'm guessing it's –
I didn't want him in there. I mean, that should happen more often.
It should happen more often, but it doesn't.
Yep. And I think it was the Cincinnati game might have been the last time. Remember the Chiefs
Kansas City
blowout?
On Monday night, yeah.
That might be the last time Hoyer played more than 5 minutes in an actual game that mattered. Well, after the game, Bill Belichick had a weird response when asked whether Brady was effective. Here's what he had to say.
You think Tom was effective? Fine.
You'd have to ask Tom. Yeah, you'd have to ask Tom.
They're not getting along. I'm telling you.
Winning solves everything. So, like, you know, there's a lot of people who, you know, and by the way, they won six in a row. So during that time, people are saying, look, everything's fine. It takes a game like that to show what your true colors are. And
there's no way you can listen to that clip and not think that if it was any other team in any other sport,
they get killed.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
You would know that they have a terrible relationship. Don't tell me that they have a good relationship.
Go ask Tom if he was effective. You're the coach. That's an easy to answer question.
Of course
anybody.
It is, but he was pissed off. He does so, him and Brady. Something's going on, and we know a lot about it. I mean, it's all those reports came out. But if I mean, I'm telling you, if the Tampa Bay Rays manager and they said, you know, blah blah blah, I can't think of anyone on their team with the but they're like blah blah blah.
So many stars on the Rays.
Yeah.
Well, they won 90 games, but you know, blah blah blah. You'll have to ask him. You'd go, what the hell's going on over there?
Yeah, well, Julian Edelman knows that they sucked out loud yesterday. And to be honest, it was actually nice to hear someone in the Patriots that you truly believe yesterday's performance bothered them. Here is Edelman.
We'll see. We'll see tomorrow how it feels. So, not a good mood, guys. I'm sorry. Sorry for being a-hole, but you know, we got outplayed. So, thank you.
Yeah, he was just like, I didn't want to take any calls. Sorry for being an a-hole, but I'm not feeling it right
this
now.
This is the same thing that Bedard has been saying, though, when he watched film, is that, you know, he's keep grabbing his ankle or he keeps grabbing his foot.
Talk about Edelman?
Edelman.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm sure if the game was closer, they wouldn't have pulled him yesterday, but something's wrong with him, too.
Well, after John Wallach's headlines, to the victor go the pylons, because the Titans... Boy, you want to talk about being a-holes. There were some burns from that locker room yesterday, including one that's an all-timer from Deion Lewis.
Who they just said, Derrick Henry, you're going to score all the touchdowns. F you, Fred.
Because your fantasy team? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, Deion Lewis just was out for blood yesterday in the locker room.
Who can blame him? All right, here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich. Can mornings get any better?
Yeah. Could you please help me?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Motion left to right for tight end Pruitt. A handoff to Henry. This time he cuts right, and he's into the end zone on his feet for a touchdown, Tennessee.
It's no effort to make a tackle. Just walked in untouched, right off right tackle.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what else is going on?
Well, we knew the Titans would obviously be fired up about the win, but to be quite honest, some of the burns from the Tennessee locker room were, as they say, straight fire. None bigger than Deion Lewis, who had this to say when asked by Mike Giardi of the NFL Network, who was a sweetie pie, not a hunk, right? He was judged to be a sweetie pie, not a hunk.
Which one again?
Mike Giardi.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Okay, right. All right, excellent. Well, he asked Deion Lewis whether he took this game personal, and here's what Deion Lewis had to say.
Yeah, it's a real sweet win, you know, especially when you used to be there and they didn't want to bring you back, so definitely real sweet. I'm happy my teammates came out and played, and I love these guys.
So it is a little personal.
Hell yeah, it's personal. That's what happens when you go cheap. You get your ass kicked.
That's what happened when you go cheap. You get your ass kicked.
Okay.
Well, then, which is probably pretty fantastic. I mean, as
insults go, it's pretty good.
It's a good insult. Yeah. It's not bad. He's been keeping an eye on it because you're not going to pay me, and you're going to bring in Cordero Patterson. You're going to bring in all these like scrap players, and you're gonna sit there and get mad when what happened just happened.
I think he kind of understands why he was let go.
Of course he does.
I think he kind of gets that.
But people underestimate just how much it kills when you want to stay on a team and someone doesn't pay you.
If you want cash, playing for the Patriots is not the place to play.
Obviously.
And I think he knew that before he got there. And by the way, the Patriots made him into what he is.
Yeah, they picked him up
off the scrap heap. I mean, my God.
Well, that's the ironic thing about all this. But however, Deion Lewis continued to pile on.
Yeah. I just had to, just let our team know that these guys are beatable. You just got to take it to them, be physical, and we'll wear them out.
Do you feel confident in the plan that you guys assembled coming into this one? Because it certainly looked like you played that way.
Yeah, very confident. Everybody's confident. Like I told these guys, I played there, so I know those guys, and I know that if you be physical with them and let them have it, they'll fold.
They'll fold. Just be physical.
Let's see if Tennessee comes to Foxborough in the playoffs. Let's see if they make the playoffs.
Let's see if they have to come to Foxborough.
And then, to add insult to injury, Deion Lewis disrespected the Patriots via meme. That's right. On Deion Lewis's Instagram, he posted a quick video of 50 Cent pulling him in a car as if to talk to someone and then peeling out while laughing. Ooh, feel the meme burn.
Jesus.
Even Titans rookie linebacker Rashawn Evans said that he'll remember beating Brady for the rest of his life and stated that he could sense that they had defeated Tom Brady while he was lying on the turf at one point. He said, quote, "When he laid on the ground, I looked down and I felt like at that point he was beaten." Evans said, when we saw that, we were like, man, we smell blood. Let's go get him. But then there's Mike Vrabel, who of all the people, I would think that he might leave some of the Patriots ball busting by the wayside, but damn it, it just seemed like too much fun at that point. Here he is being asked about why he did the pass play to Mariota after the Patriots ran that one to Brady.
Before you pulled that plug, you had a double reverse pass. What goes through your mind when that play comes?
Well, I wanted to see if it looked any better than there. So.
And did Marcus catch it better than Tom did?
He got up quicker than Tom did. I know that.
Okay, well, he's not wrong.
I mean, Tom Brady looked like a deer being born.
With the legs that are...
Yeah, like when they come out and I mean, that's like an outstanding lack of athletic ability.
I mean, how many yards did he run until his legs just said, nope?
Two.
Half yard?
Yeah.
I mean, that was just... I don't know what's going on there. But the old TB12 clinic nowadays isn't getting that much of a big bump when you see Tom Brady tripping over himself, Rob Gronkowski on the sidelines, and Julian Edelman worried about his health.
Now, this is entirely speculative, but they kept showing Gronkowski, and he's very thin. And I'm wondering, I had a guy at my house that was somehow involved in being a doctor, and that with all the back problems, if he perhaps had to cut weight, just because he couldn't carry that much weight anymore because of the effects of back injuries, because they don't go away. And so there's theory is, and this is all, I could be completely wrong, that maybe he can't carry that kind of weight because of, you know, all the back problems that he's had.
Tommy Curran said yesterday that he thinks that this is the last year for Gronkowski.
I would imagine so.
They said it's just not worth it. I mean, and the thing is too, is that, although after yesterday's game, it's tough to say this, but before yesterday's game, the whole thought process was that they're learning to win without him. Like, he's become a luxury. But, man, you could have used him yesterday.
No, it wouldn't have mattered. I don't think it would have mattered.
I mean, it would have helped, but whether they would have won or not, no.
People say Stephon Gilmore played a horrible game, and then the excuse was he was sick after the game. A lot of reporters said it was obvious he was, battling a cold. He was out there for all but one snap anyway. It wouldn't have mattered if Gronk was out there. It wouldn't have mattered if Gilmore was healthy. They would have lost anyway. That's how bad everybody played.
Well, the Patriots, they're having a hard time on the road. They were beaten 31-20 at Jacksonville in Week 2 by a Jaguars team that we now know isn't very good. And they were embarrassed 26-10 in Detroit in Week 3. Both of those teams, by the way, are now 3-6.
And by the way, it doesn't get any easier for the Patriots after the bye. Jets, baby, Jets, Jets.
Get any easier?
Jets. How is Todd Bowles? Okay, can you do me a favor?
He may be gone by next week. He may be gone before the Patriots play them.
If you didn't hear it, so like a guy that they signed, the Bills signed what 2 weeks
Matt
ago?
Matt Barkley.
I thought he was going to be a stud.
Yeah, well, he is a stud
USC,
yesterday.
Right?
He was a stud yesterday. 41 points he puts up on the Jets, who I think only scored 10. I think it was 41-10 the final score.
Yeah.
So, and that's the Bills killing the Jets yesterday. I need to see Bird. Can you pull up the tabloids? There's got to be some good ones.
I already looked.
Toilet bowls. You know, I'm,
yeah, that's a good
although
one.
I think that's been used, and I believe
that's
why
all right.
I came up
that's
with
still
it.
Good.
So let me know what they're saying about Todd Bowles, because this could be the end of him.
I mean, he could be gone by next weekend.
You need a offensive guru, a young offensive guru, to work with Sam Darnold. I mean, enough.
Josh McDaniels.
I was with the Jets. Call with the Jets. Call Josh McDaniels.
Josh McDaniels would never go to the Jets.
No.
Well, Mangini did.
And look what happened. Persona non grata for a decade.
Well, we were talking about how bad the Patriots have been on the road, but their two road wins weren't much better. I mean, Chicago was essentially the special teams of the defense that won that game. And the Bills, if you remember, that was a 12-6 game going into the fourth quarter against the Bills. So the Patriots, they got a bye week next week. They fell to 7-3, and they're now behind the Chiefs and the Steelers in the AFC playoff standings. And How can they make up ground?
Don't forget the Chargers. Don't forget the Chargers.
Yeah, but they're not behind the Chargers.
Bowles Buster. Bowles Buster is the New York Post.
Bowles Buster?
Yeah.
Is that supposed to be like Ghost Buster?
No, like Balls Buster.
Oh, Ball Buster? Bowles Buster?
I didn't write it.
No, I'm just saying that's not good.
No, it's not Osama bin Wanking.
No, it is
nothing
not.
Ever will be. I mean, you touched the moon once.
Yeah. Although they got pretty close with that Beatles one that they had come together. That wasn't that bad.
No, it was not.
There you go. But the one way they can make up any kind of ground is that they can beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, Week 15, which is going to be somewhat tough. Why the hell the road games are this way? As a matter of fact, in the five road games up to this point, the Patriots have trailed by a cumulative score of 101-73 through three quarters.
Yeah, so much for Tomlin losing that Steelers team.
Well, we still have a ways to go.
And
Connor's been great. I mean, he's been phenomenal.
He's going to be the man, too. Apparently, Le'Veon Bell continues to get horrible advice.
He's
going to sit out the season.
He's going to have lost $14 million that he will never recoup. All right, we will be back, Rich. What will we talk about?
All right, we will get to the Bruins, who looked pretty damn good yesterday, and the Celtics. They got issues, man. And as much as we want to give them a little bit of a leash, maybe it's about time you start looking at Brad Stevens.
Oh, yeah. We'll be right back.
Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Right. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich.
Real quick, I want to mention that, you know, there's a great article that I was mentioning some of the stats that were coming up. It was from Greg Bedard in the Boston Sports Journal that talks all about the road woes of the New England Patriots. It's pretty disgusting when you take a look at, and especially what was going on with that Bears game, and I know it was a win, and you look back on it, and that Bills game was just atrocious. So I don't know what's happening there. Maybe we can get Bedard on later on, but he actually went through and broke down in the Boston Sports Journal, like, just how different this is from years past. As a matter of fact, I think he put something in there that they've been, like, in the last 2 years, they were 15-1 on the road. So for this to stand out with three losses just in 1 year on the road is just it's an amazing outlier, and I don't know what's going on. But it's a pretty decent article that shows that there's a massive problem. We'll talk to Troy Brown about that a little bit later on. Well, at least one Boston team showed up to play yesterday.
Right circle, it's angled to Krejci. Right circle, Bergeron. Centers, near side, Pastrnak, centered again, swept out in front, they score! Brad Marchand stayed with it. He had to turn his body and then fired it along the near side as Subban was trying to cover the far post, and the Bruins with a 3-0 lead. That's a power play goal.
All right, well, the Bruins looked awesome against the Vegas Golden Knights. They win 4-1, and you know a stat that I saw yesterday that jumped out at me, that even though the first line has been otherworldly, You know, that was only Marchand's sixth goal of the year.
Yeah.
Which means he hasn't even really heated up yet.
Well, and he's been facilitating.
Obviously he has, but we know how great of a scorer he can be. So on top of him not only with all the assists. So only that line, it's as good as they are, I think they actually might even get better.
Well, they were up against the great Malcolm Subban last night.
Yeah, they were, which we know very well. Malcolm Subban around here. But speaking of goalies, the big question is, where the hell is Tuukka Rask? So we found out, I think it was on Friday, they announced that Tuukka was going to take a bit of a leave for what they are saying are non-health reasons. And most of the Bruins, obviously all the Bruins, have been fairly tight-lipped on what's going on. And anything you read, there's been really no real information about what's on there. I've had some people on Twitter reach out and say that they know the true story, but this is all stuff that I don't know who these people are and what they claim. They're from like the stupid to the outrageous. But John, do you have some of the players speaking on Tuukka Rask?
No, it's interesting. I was looking for it. Excuse me, I do not have it. It's interesting. Everyone is really tight-lipped about the whole thing. All we know is that according to Bruce Cassidy before the game last night, Rask is expected back at practice tomorrow. So whatever it is, it's not long-term. And now, that's good news because they have a big road trip coming up.
Now, by saying not health reason, that would obviously mean physical health. I mean, there could be something else going on that's bothering him. I don't know. I'm not quite sure. Not injury related.
No, it's not injury related.
So this will be interesting. But having him back, hopefully whatever he's doing will be able to clear his mind.
I can tell you for a fact it is not injury related.
Well, I mean, that they said that. The team has come out and said that.
But I, from what I understand and for what I've known for a while, this is not injury related.
Freddie T confirming that the team is telling the truth is essentially.
Correct.
They're not covering for an injury.
And that is all I will say on the matter.
That he is in tip-top shape. It's funny because
I don't know if he's in tip-top shape, but I know that he's having some problems.
Okay. Well, another group of people that are having some problems are the Boston Celtics.
Damian Lillard against Marcus Smart. Straight away, we're about to hit 1 minute remaining. Lillard dribbles behind the screen, kicks out Aminu. Crazy deep three is good. Are you serious? Woo. Well, no one's going to go out and guard Aminu from 30 feet. But he was on the sideline, way behind the line. And just like Jay Crowder in crunch time on Friday, it's Aminu hitting a big three-pointer. Exactly 1 minute to go. Celtics down 6.
Ooh, that might have closed the door.
And the Boston Celtics finished their road trip 1-4. The one team that they beat, the lowly Phoenix Suns, and they had to come back from, what, 20-something points to do that?
Yep.
It is not looking good right now, and it's a team that, when they seem to have the pressure on them, they play great basketball, which would be the second half after they get down by a ton. But in the first half, they are having a hard time playing good basketball.
How many wins, Dan Vincent, how many wins did you predict?
63.
And they're 7-6.
Yep, they're 7-6.
So they have to lose 13 games the rest of the season for you to be right.
Yep, I still have, and they're gonna figure it out. But there is something to the fact that it's one thing if shots don't go in. It's another thing for your defense to crap itself over the past several games.
Yeah,
there's no excuse
early
for that.
On last night, Nurkic had, I think, 4 dunks in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. Simple pick and rolls.
Razzle-dazzles?
Yes.
Yep.
Razzle-dazzles.
Rim shakers?
Dunkaroonies, yes.
And if your team isn't playing motivated basketball for an entire half, several games in a row, whose fault is that? It's Brad Stevens. It's Brad Stevens' fault.
He blamed himself after the game last night.
And here's Brad Stevens. Yeah.
When you're in the game, you have a job to do on that possession, you do it. And then if you do it really well over and over again, you have a good team. And we're not there yet. And so that, to me, is well-coached teams are, you know, get there. We're not a well-coached team right now. That's pretty obvious.
And Kyrie is trying, man. He is trying. And he's the one guy on this team. Like, I wish they had some sort of veteran that was in there, like a you know, like a Tony Allen type guy or something that can just like kick their ass around a little bit. And I know that Marcus Smart, one of the thoughts that's been thrown out there, is throwing him into the starting lineup in order to try to get this team motivated.
Replacing
to play
Jaylen
some,
Brown?
Yep, in order to play some sort of, you know, hard defense in the first half of games. It's been ridiculous. And by the way, these are games that, like last night's, they were down by like 20 points. And then the Phoenix one, they're down by like 20 points. And they're getting their nut punched by guys. There's certain, how many games, it was Oladipo went for how many points? Like, there's every game seems to have one player that scores like almost 40.
Yeah, Oladipo had a double double. No, he didn't come close to 40. I don't even think he got 30. Just thinking off the top of my head because I was actually there for that one. But ultimately, what it came down to.
What's that?
It's calling the game.
Yep, John did call that game.
Yeah, you would think I'd say this because I should remember this, and I don't.
Just slide it in there.
Ultimately, the Celtics had other players make shots. Oladipo hit that big three at the end of the Indiana game. And Sean's right. Al-Farouq Aminu was out near the logo, you know, describing what court it was, the Moto Center. He was 30 or 35 feet from the basket and made the shot. And part of it's bad luck. The other part of it is they have not played well until the fourth quarter a lot of these games. We're behind by 15. You know, maybe we should start playing. They were down 13 points in the fourth quarter and had to score 11 straight to make it a game. And they had the ball down to twice, and Marcus Morris missed a corner three, and they went around the rim and came out. I mean, bad luck's part of this, too. They were down a lot, but there were a couple of games on that trip that were winnable also.
Yeah, it's not looking good. They're going to figure it out, things on offense, but the defense, that's inexcusable. That's inexcusable for them to come out.
At the beginning of games, I agree.
Yep, it has been bad, bad stuff. But they come back home, and hopefully a game against the Bulls might kick things in order. Oh, what do you think about Jimmy Butler now? Heading to Philadelphia.
Look out, Philadelphia. Coming at you. No, this doesn't make that big a difference.
It'll help.
It'll help,
but man, Covington's a great defensive player, and Sarge is a better outside shooter than Butler is. You gave up a lot of depth for one guy for 1 year.
I heard they're trying to get Korver.
Well, I mean, that would solve the problem with losing Saric.
Solve all their defensive woes.
But he can't play defense. That's the problem.
Don't say that. You saw him in the finals.
That's right, of course.
You saw him in the finals.
Right, that's right, I did.
That's all you need to know about Korver.
Korver was on
39
fire.
39 years old, or however old he is.
Oh, by the way,
they have basically an agreement with Butler that he's going to sign.
Yeah, in order to make this trade, they'd have to.
Yes,
I would agree.
And by the way, it sounds like this morning they're going to be telling Carmelo Anthony, they being the Rockets, that we're going to waive you. Yeah. That he's played his last game after 10 games.
Why hide it, by the way? Why? I don't think going out of his way not to say anything. It's obvious. He's not helping.
This is kind of funny.
Get the cooler off my team.
Sportsline, that's some sort of weird stat group. They say that if the Rockets release Carmelo Anthony, the probability of Houston making the playoffs actually increases by 19.9%.
Yeah, because they know what everyone else on the planet knows, that whoever has this guy is cursed.
Yeah, he's a guy who is a high-volume shooter that can't shoot. All right, Troy Brown is going to join us for the next hour, 617-779-0985. No commercials, just the headlines.